Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to I'll Have What She's Having, a food and drink podcast from me, Sophie Wybird.
And me, Hannah Crosby. Every week, Sophie and I sit down to dinner. She makes a dish, I pair a wine, and we put the world to rights. This week, we pair our own blend with Fennelly Sosison.
And we talk overhyped telly, rolled dahl, and pancakes with internet food man, What Will He Cook?
Hello!
We're back for another episode.
With a special guest. It's not just us in the room today. We've broken the seal, Soph.
We have a boy in the room.
We've got first ever male guest, and then we're getting all excited and flustered.
I know. I'm feeling so shy.
No. Do you want to introduce him? Because he's not... he's just sitting in silence until we introduce him. Soph, who have we got sitting across from us?
So this week joining us, we have internet sensation, Kirk, all-round style king, Will Hughes, a.k.a. What Will He Cook? My previous podcast partner.
It's yeah. A reunion.
Who I divorced.
Amicably.
Amicably divorced.
Although our weird fucked up child, Michael, has turned out real bad after the breakup. He's been doing graffiti.
All kinds of naughty things.
Yeah. You've remarried.
I've remarried.
We're welcoming you back into the
into our
relationship.
Home.
He's struggling to deal with his his mother's new... sexuality change, you know.
It's going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay.
Michael, it'll be fine.
We're a happy blended family.
There we go.
Will, you made your name in lockdown making all kinds of silly recipe videos. Big sensation, blew up really quickly. You now make all kinds of silly songs.
Yes.
I'm a very serious musician.
Sorry, not silly songs. Very, very serious songs.
Thank you very much.
What's been your favourite one so far?
I enjoyed doing the one about freezer dumplings, which was a redo of, is it a remix?
Not Hello
a remix.
Silence, my old friend.
Yeah, it was a cover of The Sound of Silence by Simon and Garfunkel.
That's my favourite, and also Dips.
Yes.
Like the Dips one.
I like the Dips one as well. I think it's much better when we do covers because they're already good, catchy songs. Mm.
Dips so was to the tune of Chips.
Yeah.
Chips.
God, I can't speak today. No. Dips was to the tune of Kiss.
Yeah. By Prince. By Chips.
The artist.
By Chips.
Is he still called the artist formerly known as Prince?
He's not called anything anymore.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, now he's dead, would he be referred to as the artist formerly known as the artist formerly known as Prince?
He legally changed his name to a symbol.
Right.
Did he never change it back?
No.
But when it was the symbol, it was the artist formerly known as Prince.
Oh, really?
So now his title, I suppose, would be the artist formerly known as, because he's dead, the artist formerly known as Prince.
He was often referred... So, in 1993, he changed his stage name to the unpronounceable symbol and was often referred to as the artist formerly known as Prince. But he was born Prince Rogers Nelson.
That was his real name.
Real name.
His name was Prince.
Much like Madonna, whose real name was Madonna.
You thought her name was Maria until about 5 minutes ago.
I thought it was Maria Schicconi because my friend Lily once told me it was Maria Schicconi, but it's actually Madonna Ciccone.
It's a really strong name.
Mm. Isn't Ciccone the restaurant that's her house owns?
Isn't it? Yeah, it's that, that Italian.
There is a Ciccone's restaurant, isn't there?
Yeah, there's quite a few around the world.
Question on your songs, Will.
Yeah.
When you're covering songs like Kiss by Prince, how far away from the original do you need to go to not get sued?
Well, I think taking the piss to the point that we do is how far. Like, as long as it's... I mean, we're just basically just doing what Weird Al and, like, the amateur transplants and all those people did, but not as well or as funny or as clever, and condensing it into minute and a half silly little green screen videos. And
then nobody minds.
Yeah, and then no one seems to give a fuck. Well, Prince isn't going to do anything. Cunt's dead. So.
True.
Sorry to... Would you like to apologise to the Prince community?
I don't know. Is there a lot of crossover, cross-pollination with the I'll Have What She's Having pod?
I think that the mark of a good parody song to the tune of another song is if it does the same rhymes as the previous song. Yeah. So you kind of, it's the same shape, but it's completely different. I think Munya Chihuahua does it really well.
Yes.
Yeah.
He does it amazingly.
He's good. His are actually quite well produced as well.
Whereas he also does it so quickly.
He's so quick off the mark.
Something happens and he's got a video out in within 24 hours.
Yeah, no.
Have you ever been contacted by Munya?
No. I think Tegan almost pushed him down a flight of stairs by accident at a Lazy Oaf party once. I met him briefly and said hello.
We need to stop putting Tegan in hot water on the podcasts that you're on, you poor thing.
Tegan tried to kill internet sensation Munya Chihuahua.
Yeah, I can't remember what happened. We were at a party and I think he was there and Tegan was surprised to see him and she sort of went, oh! And then I think that startled him and then I think they were at the top of a flight of stairs. And Tegan was like, oh God, I thought he was a bit scared and was going to jump back, but yeah, no.
Oh, bless him. Anyway, before we get too far into it, because full disclosure, we've just been for a lunch where we've talked at length for about 2.5 hours. So one would have thought that we'd have run out of things to say.
We've plenty of content left.
We've plenty of content left, but before we divulge into the juicy stuff, should we talk about what we've got in front of us?
Oh, yeah. We've gone for fun little picky bits on my front.
Yeah, we're very full.
We're very full. So I knew that I suspected we might be full. We had delicious Portuguese lunch. Bifana sandwiches, a revelation.
That was so good. I think got to do a shout out, actually. Liz Boetta, Bifana sandwiches. Nuno Mendes, and he wanted to bring the Bifana sandwich to London. And
very glad he did.
It's also what I quite like. It's a pretty fancy restaurant, but it's not a fancy sandwich. It's just a fucking delicious load of meat stuck into a tasty roll.
And you have some peri-peri oil to dip the sandwich in.
Really good.
Unbelievable. So if you're kicking around in London in lunch times and need a delicious sandwich, go and get that. So we've already had that. So what we're going to have as a nibble is even more little meaty bits. We've got some saucy son, but it's some that's made in Cornwall. Loads of fennel seeds in there. And I always think when you've got saucy son, you need something pickled. So I'm keeping it British and classy and just got a pile of pickled onions.
I also have some actual pickles in the fridge.
Oh my God, we can get actual pickles out too.
Yeah.
Pickled
onions.
Are they
Pirello?
I think so.
Of course they fucking are.
Saucy son. And just salty crisps.
Wait, they're orange with the lady on the front.
Oh, they're the Mrs. Ellsworth ones.
Mrs. Ellsworth.
They're nice and spicy. I like a spicy
crunchy. Are they the Hamisha ones?
They're spicy and crunchy.
The Hamisha ones, very popular in the Jewish community, are my personal favourite, Mrs. Ellsworth.
They're bloody lovely.
Well, they're good, yeah.
Well, we've got a jar chilling in the fridge.
As they should be chilled. We get those out as well.
Yeah, I'll get
them. You might want to go crack them, let them breathe.
Yeah. Sure, I will actually go and get them after I've talked about the wine that we're going to be having with it. So I just nabbed this out of the wine cabinet. But today we are going to be having, generally a good rule to go by if you're having like peppery meats is to go with something Syrah dominant, which is usually like quite a peppery, grape.
That.
You've always said that.
Heard you say that.
You've
yeah.
said that at least yeah. twice
I've
today.
I say that a lot.
Yeah. But this bottle is ridiculously good value. I think you can get it for like 12 or 13 quid online. It's from a wine cooperative called Le Vigneron des... Oh, fuck. Le Vigneron des de Zarg. It's a wine co-op. So it was created in 1965 in Estesarg. Why are you making me say it again? Estesarg, which is near Avignon.
Lovely.
So they do conscientious farming. It's all organic. No unnatural yeast, no filtering, no fining, no nothing except grapes, except nice grapes. So Cuvée de Galette, you might have had before. It's kind of a bit of
delicious,
a classic.
Delicious, love that one.
This is like a bit of a step up from that. So it's a lot more peppery, a lot more fruity, a bit more pronounced, and prettier label too, if you ask
me. Cuvée de Galette's quite a simple label. But it's a good, I always think it's quite a good like lower end of nice wine price.
It is.
For if you're looking for intro wines into the nice wine world.
Well, I would definitely recommend this because I have had it before and I think we're just going to absolutely smash that because we've had two cocktails, two glasses of wine. Well, you've had two beers.
We've just Super been on box, the, no less.
Yeah, we've just been on the Lizzie line, so we're high on life.
Yeah.
Right, let's
great
go.
Air con.
Let's great go crack the con. Pickles open.
Right, nice.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Cheers. Cheers.
Chin, lovely chin. To see you, Will.
No,
it's been a while.
It's a Côte d'Aron. Just a little East London wine joke there for you. Sure, that will resonate with all of the
We've
listeners.
Got a lot of topics, actually.
Oh, the first or Will.
Okay.
Oh, what's the best thing you ate this week?
If by this week you're counting it being Wednesday now since last Wednesday.
Correct, yeah. 7 days.
I can't lie. It's been a fucking good 7 days.
Yeah.
A really good 7 days, as it goes. We've had Pancake Day.
Oh, my God, I forgot about Pancake
last
Day.
Wednesday, was last Wednesday Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Jeez. Or was
wait,
it?
No, it was Wednesday.
It was last Wednesday.
Oh, no, it was Tuesday. All
right, well, scratch that. Scratch that. Tuesday's irrelevant. But I've been to Rub Club. Oh, that's meant to say Run Club.
What is Rub Club? That sounds really
sexy.
You
don't want to know. No, this week, the nicest thing that I've eaten since last Wednesday was probably the mixed grill at Allegra when... Ben Marks and from Perilla and Sirtash from Mangal were doing something with Patrick Powell from Allegra.
Oh, lovely.
Which is not a restaurant I'd ever been to before, but it's...
Where is it?
It's in Stratford. It's in like a massive...
No restaurants are in Stratford.
Super, yeah, well, it's in like a really super tall like building. I don't know if it's a hotel or whatever. And it's totally not where I thought it was going to be. And it's beautiful. Really nice restaurant. Really nice outdoor bit. Yeah, just really modern and beautiful. And the cocktails were really, really good. And the wine's really good. Anyway, they did a little pop-up thing on Sunday. And Ben and, I guess, Patrick and the chefs from Allegra did a starter, which was like a mushroom caramel potato milfoy thing, which was lovely, quite fancy. And that was absolutely delicious. But then Sirtash did this mixed grill thing and Ben did like the dips for it. And it was just like, just really, really nicely cooked meat. It was like some mutton and there was some walnut and sucuk, like sausage. And like the veg had been cooked, like tomatoes and onions, I guess, had been cooked. Well, I guess the tomatoes and onions had been cooked underneath the meat. So all the fat dripped onto the tomato. And, yeah, with some really nice dips, really nice spicy sauce. There was like a leek dip. And it was all just really, really, really nice.
Oh, that sounds delicious. I'm really full, but that sounds great.
Yeah, that's possibly the best thing that I ate this week. Although, genuinely, shout out again to that Bafana. I loved that.
Yeah.
It was so good.
So one thing that I was going to say about that particular sandwich is obviously the schlop within was... so tasty.
Yeah.
And I think that quite often with a sandwich with big chunky bread like that, you have quite dry parts.
Yes.
I don't know if they soaked it for ages.
It was moist.
Every bite of bread.
The bread was amazing.
Had sucked up the flavour of the beef. Yeah, and I don't know what they'd seasoned that beef with, really. I mean, I'm assuming just like shitloads of paprika and salt. And
yeah, loose boetta.
It's actually
listening.
Pork in a Bafana.
Oh.
What?
Sounds like biff. But it's not.
It wasn't beef.
No, it's pork.
Oh, well, it tasted like beef.
Well, I'm not sure what the sauce is.
Yes.
Well, I think the sauce was quite dark, it made the pork look like beef. You know what I mean?
Those bloody tricksters.
It was weird.
Those bloody tricksters.
But anyway, that was absolutely delicious. So I think that's maybe a close second.
Hannah, what about you?
So I was in Paris last week for Valentine's. Not on purpose, just by coincidence.
The City of Love.
I just so happened to be in the City of Love on Valentine's Day. But had a very underwhelming meal the first night.
Oh.
Where? Name and shame.
Jake.
How was dessert?
Jake, bleep it out. Have you heard of this place called McDonald's? No, I'm joking. It was...
People love it.
Yeah.
People are stupid.
Don't trust people.
Don't trust people.
There we go.
But it was two Parisians. It's true. It's true. But two people that said that I should go were Parisians. And I was like, oh, they probably know. Went in, like, they always had the door open, so it was always fucking freezing. The food was, like, underwhelming, and the service was, like, meh. So... Yeah, no, but it was just like really underwhelming. It was really sad because it was so hyped up. Then someone actually messaged me afterwards, who I spoke to before I went away, saying, oh, what did you think of? And I said, you know what? I was really underwhelmed. She was like, yeah, I was going to tell you it was a shit choice, but I didn't want to say anything. I was like, you should have told me.
It's all subjective. It's all subjective. Food lark, isn't
it? Bistro Paul Ben, not subjective. Oh. Fucking brilliant.
Tried to get a table there. Got all of my French friends to try and book a table. Couldn't get through.
It's impossible. The amount of people who messaged me being like, how the fuck did you get a table?
What is this place?
Magical Parisian bistro.
It's a Parisian bistro?
Yeah.
So, I've never been to
Paris.
Oh,
and
you
I've
would
been
like
to France
it.
When I was like young, but I haven't been to France in the time that I've been as interested in food and cooking as I am. And I think that I need to do something about that.
I think you should, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should all go.
Immediately. Yeah. Ooh.
Why are we not doing this
from tonight,
a little
guys?
Parisian restaurant?
Oh, I just told you nothing. I'm going to Paris.
Let's go.
I'm going to Morocco.
That's good. But the second night.
Right?
Yeah, it's true. The second night that we were there, I had an amazing meal. Don't bleep this out. I don't want to gatekeep it. Le Savin was absolutely out of this world. It's a Franco-Filipino restaurant, so run by two sisters. I think it's the sister restaurant to another restaurant that's also very successful. But Le Savin was so amazing. I was telling you about these anchovies on like this perfectly square piece of toast, but the bottom of the toast was like melted butter and XO sauce. But everything was like kind of like classic French cuisine, but with like a little cheeky twist. So there was like this lovely like corn-fed chicken with like peanuts and like chili sauce. Oh, so good. And sprouts.
What was the cheeky twist?
The cheeky twist was that it was Filipino.
Oh, right. Yes. Nice.
Nice. Cheeky.
What
about you, Soph? What have you eaten?
But like I've always had a pretty mega food week this week. It's been cooking a lot. Best thing I cooked was a sausage and walnut lasagna.
Ooh,
like
naughty.
A creamy walnut sauce.
Cheeky.
Sausage and walnut. That's what I had on Sunday.
I know, we're having a very sausagey
We've
walnut
We've had very
time.
Sausage and walnut based nice things this week.
What a combo. Mm. What a combo. Yeah, that was a nice thing that I cooked. Pancake day, obviously Will mentioned pancake day, but I had many, many pancakes yesterday and had a bloody great time.
Too many?
No, no such
Never.
Thing.
Never.
No such thing. I do think that Pancake Day is my favourite culinary tradition.
Really? You said you don't recognise Valentine's Day, but you do recognise
yes.
and observe Pancake
I observe
Day.
Pancake Day far more than Valentine's, yet.
Right,
Can
yeah.
confirm that.
Yeah.
Just there's so much fun you can have with a pancake. Mm. I made okonomiyaki for lunch.
I saw that. That looked very nice.
It
very
lovely.
Delicious. Japanese pancakes where you basically pack them with loads of like shredded cabbage.
You missed out on a golden opportunity to call it a Japan cake there.
Oh, fuck.
It was
a Joe pancake. So silly. I forgot how silly you are.
So silly.
I put loads of prawns in that and then topped it with QP mayo and okonomiyaki sauce, which is basically like brown sauce. Had as much in a pickle
did you,
in the
mouth. Yeah, did you make the okonomiyaki sauce?
I did, yeah.
What was
I just mixed up ketchup, Worcester sauce, a bit of oyster sauce, and soy sauce and drizzled that on the top.
Good brown things.
Mm. And then topped with sushi ginger and spring onions.
The good pink shit.
Do you know what I've done, which is actually really weird? But in all the supermarkets now, you know the sushi ginger that you get that's bright pink? I feel like it's gone out of fashion and they've stopped dyeing it and it's white a lot of the time now.
Yeah.
So I put pink food colouring in my jar
Did
of white
you?
Stuff.
That's quite funny.
That's cute.
Yeah, actually, I've never really thought about that.
I want it to
is,
be pink.
It used to be pink all the time, didn't it?
It adds such vibrancy to your food. So I've started dyeing mine pink. Whenever I get a jar, I just put a few drops of food colouring in it and just let it hang out in the fridge.
Yeah, nice.
What do you put in it? What is your best pancake topping?
I am a simple man.
You a lemon and sugar boy?
Nope.
Syrup.
I am a Nutella and banana.
Mm.
Although I've recently found out, you know, this is so relevant to the podcast. I've been telling you, I've been struggling with my sinuses.
Yes.
So my housemate just told me that bananas are a histamine.
No.
And I eat quite a lot of banana, like every day. I'll have a protein shake because, as you know, I work out. And and I put a banana in it every day. And I think I might, and you can develop
a banana allergy.
And I think that might potentially, I'm going to go cold banana and not have
not cold bananas
for a while. My favourite dessert, as you know, banoffee pie.
Yeah.
But I'm, when it comes to pancakes, Nutella and banana. But I have recently acquired some heatproof glass bowls. So I made some on Valentine's Day. I did some tragic strawberry chocolate dips. Whatever.
Oh, you sweet, sweet boy.
Whole thing of Cadbury's Dairy Milk and then like half a thing of like Lindt Super Dark. So it was like dark milk, whatever.
Love, love.
Was Tegan impressed?
She actually barely ate any of them. She's a horrid little cow. But I was impressed with myself because I actually thought that was pretty nice.
And then you went off and had a wank.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I did that. And then I forgot that I put the leftover chocolate in the fridge. So I had a bowl with hard chocolate in the fridge ready to go. And then I stirred through all the Cadbury's and the Lindt a load of Nutella last night.
You naughty little boy.
Oh, God, it was fucking
that
great.
That sounds heavenly.
So rich. Just like, and Tiggs likes to do pancakes in a genius way. So she makes the super, super thin ones. And it's not that genius. I mean, probably what loads of people do.
I was about to say that's a really nice thing to say. No, but he immediately took it back.
So this is not the way that I ever used to do it, or the way that my mum ever used to do it, or the way that any like pancakes that you had at school that were really shit. You know, I've never had it like that. So she'd do the super, super thin crepes. And then she'll throw Nutella onto like a corner and fold it in half. And then Nutella and banana. And then fold it in half. And so it'd be like double filling.
This is what I did with my savoury pancakes last night.
Oh.
I did a little refrigerated savoury pancake with, I had some tomato and smoked almond sauce.
Oh, wow.
And some Gruyere and some grazed leeks. It was kind of Romesco-ish, yeah.
Romesco-ish.
Romesco-ish. And did the same, fold it into bits. And then you get these lovely, you know, just so nice.
It's
and, like,
nice to have the
soft
layers, isn't it? It's a little bit like what are those, what are they called? It's a bit like a lasagna.
It's kind of like, it's basically like pancake lasagna.
Pancake lasagna, exactly.
Lasagna. Yeah.
What's your favourite pancake topping?
I used to have a habit that I felt was like a bit like classless and a bit naughty when it came to pancakes. But now, Nigella just did a video and she used the exact same thing. And now I feel really affirmed, so I feel like I can finally talk about it. I can't have my pancakes without squirty cream.
Delicious.
Oh, yeah. It feels like a proper clown dessert.
I was gonna put some squirted cream on mine last night, except I bought the squirted cream ages ago. It was gassed when I looked at it and I was like, this hasn't gone out of date. What the fuck? This doesn't go out of date. And then I opened the fucking lid and it was just green mold everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, you get the green streak.
Yeah, it was foul.
I think that's fucking classy.
Wait, so but do you just have?
No. I cooked blueberries. So I like to do them fluffy. Because in Scotland, it's essentially American pancakes. We call it drop scones.
Yeah, yeah.
But
do they call them drop scones? Yeah. Is that what they call them? Not drop scones.
Scone.
It's drop scone.
You're a sconer.
You're a sconer.
Scone. Yeah.
Right. That's interesting. I had you down as a sconer.
Maybe I am a sconer.
Well,
I don't know. I just don't know anymore. I don't know what I would say.
The lines, there is no they rhyme. Just, they blur.
There's
when you
no
move
rhyme
away.
Or reason as to who says what as well.
Yeah. Well, drops. Oh yeah, fuck it, it's scones. Yeah. But we make kind of like a fluffy pancake, but I stir frozen blueberries into the mix.
Yeah, nice.
So they go all melty and gooey when they're in the pan.
Love
and then
that.
Put a squirt of cream on top. And some of my mother's blackberry jam.
Delicious.
Ooh, double blackberry.
Yeah.
No, double
blueberry
berry.
And blueberry, yeah, blackberry. Double fruit.
I do another thing that is not, which is not considered to be classy by the wider world, but I think is the
You're
best.
You're going to say something so
thing.
Horrible.
Golden syrup.
Oh,
in my
yeah.
pancakes, I want golden syrup
yeah.
and banana.
Yeah, golden syrup.
And if
syrup,
I had squirty cream, I would do that too.
Golden syrup is the
better than
I
maple
haven't
syrup.
Had golden syrup in a pancake. I used to be, as a kid, I used to be quite experimental with pancakes. Like
when you have all the bits on the table,
yeah,
you can really run
and
wild.
I used to really like golden syrup. That's really like jogged. I don't think I've used golden syrup for years.
Oh, it's bloody lovely.
But I think on the subject of savoury pancakes, one of, and this is actually quite horrible, delicious, but not great. When I was a kid, my mum would make quite nice savoury pancakes every now and again, and I would sort of poo-poo them a little bit, but then I had the concept of a savoury pancake she sort of put in my head. So I was then like, okay, well, what do I love? And as a kid, I fucking love cheese. Couldn't pronounce it. Used to call it cheek.
Oh, sweetie.
Absolutely nothing cute about that speech impediment.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
There's not. It was. I didn't have a speech impediment. I just couldn't say cheese. It was really weird. I as a child, I learned to talk quite early. But cheese, the one thing that I loved most.
Passed you by.
Could not fucking say that word. I go cheek every time. So when I was about six, I got a load of butter, just like a block of butter, chopped it up into bits, whatever, put that on my pancake, and then just grated like half a thing of cheese, like Pilgrim's Choice cheddar.
Delicious.
Folded that, like rolled it up. Honestly, so, so, so nice, because the butter like melts a little bit, and then you have like a salty bit of butter with like a sharp bit of cheese.
Ooh.
And I have not done that since I was about eight, but I think that what I want now is that followed by a golden syrup one.
Next pancake day, bring it back.
Every 5-star review that is left on this podcast, is one step closer to us bringing Will back on the podcast where we make that exact meal for him.
I would love that more than anything.
Yeah.
Also, I know no one's very hungry, but this saucy song with this wine is so nice.
Oh, I'm so pleased. Thank you.
It's funny you should say that, actually, because one thing that I always say...
Very good, very good. Right, so the top of the agenda is the fact that I'm a fucking moron. I think I'm better than everyone else and I don't listen. You told me for about 3 episodes in a row that I should watch White Lotus because it's my perfect TV show.
Bloody ages ago.
And you said, Hannah, honestly, it's so you would love it. It's exactly your type of thing. And I didn't listen to you.
Is this an apology?
Okay, I'd like to apologise to the Sophie Weibird community for ignoring her for so long. Because she's really fucking good. Yeah, it was probably the best thing I've seen in ages.
Have you done season 1 and 2?
I did season 2.
It's so good.
I did season 2 because that's like the one about sexual politics. And that kind of is really interesting to me.
So my controversial White Lotus opinion is that season 1 is better than season 2.
Ooh. This is what Cam says too.
The characters are great in, but well, they're not great. They're fucking hateful, which is obviously the point. But for me, is it Murray Bartlett?
Yeah,
as the hotel manager, is fucking brilliant. Like steals the whole thing. Everyone's talking about Jennifer Coolidge. She's so good. She comes into her own in the second series.
She really does.
But Murray Bartlett as the hotel manager in the first series
makes that
for me better than the second series and. I'll die on that hill.
He's a believable character.
Yeah.
Do you know though, Hannah, it does really tap into that thing of I do it as well. Mm. When TV shows are really overhyped and people keep telling you to watch them, you're like, I'm not going to fucking watch it. Do you know what? I didn't download Google Chrome for so many years because I was still using Safari like a mug. Can you believe? For years. And everyone was like, you should really download Chrome. And I was like, will I fuck? Everyone's telling me to download Chrome.
That sounds like someone saying you should really try this thing called penicillin. Really.
Your dad actually uses Mozilla Firefox.
Would not surprise me.
Yeah.
Does he actually?
I don't know. I haven't asked. Yeah, no, I know what you mean about when people really overhype something. I really wanted to like The Last of Us.
Thank you.
So, my opinion's kind of shifted, right?
Because I talked about the third episode.
No, third episode was fucking amazing.
I watched it last night and it was fucking lovely. Yeah. But I just wish that all of it was like that.
Yeah.
The first 2 episodes I wasn't loving. Episode 3 was a work of art.
Yeah.
And now we're just not going to have that anymore.
Yeah, that's literally exactly how I feel about it. And I never played the video game.
So for me, I played the video games. Episode 1 for me, like I nearly like had a little weep because it's a game that I really, really loved and I played like absolutely ages ago. Funnily enough, we got a PS5, we got a PS5 for Christmas. And this is the thing, like I said, we should download the rest of us. We should, yeah, just who's left? Or just
that would have been a way better name for
just
that
the
game.
Rest of us.
We
should download The Last of Us, because that's genuinely like one of my favourite games that I've played. And we downloaded it and then found out that it was having a remake. And essentially, the first episode of The Last of Us is so good because they have lifted an insanely amazing first scene from the game. Because
that was
the game
amazing,
is,
the opening bit.
The opening bit, you are playing the girl that gets, spoiler alert, that gets shot. You play her, and then like the first scene is like you're still controlling like where she looks, and for about 5 minutes you're in the back of that car and you're looking all around and like seeing all the fuckery happening around you. And like what they're saying, Tommy and fucking sexy as fuck, Joel. Whatever his face is, Joel. They are both having like copying verbatim the exact same thing that they say in the game, and it was actually giving me goosebumps.
Right.
And also like there's lots of like kind of little things in sprinkled in for people that know the game, because like before you meet the zombies, before like with the mushrooms out of them, before you've kind of encountered them in the TV series, he says like, oh, I don't think there's anything here. I can't hear anything. And then you go like, oh, he's talking about the clickers. Oh my God. So there's kind of like the little, I'm basically a massive pygmy. I love pizza.
You're such
I love beer.
You're
and
such
football.
A gamer girl.
I don't know. Other girls don't really like me. I like to wear hoodies and glasses. I don't know. But yeah, for me, Last of Us, like the first episode, I was like, wow. I like nearly did a little cry because that's how true it felt. It was, and it was just so well done. Second episode, yeah, great. We're like building momentum. Third episode, cried like a baby. Brilliant. Haven't cried like that for ages. It. Last few episodes, didn't believe the high-voiced woman as a villain.
I haven't got there yet.
We can't go that far because I've stopped.
Well, there's kind of like a bit of a villain like for a couple of episodes, and it's kind of like they're trying to do like a, she has a high voice. It's like creepy that she's like, it's kind of like the equivalent of like playing like plinky plonky children's music to like build up suspense in a horror film. You know what I mean? Or like a small child singing a nursery rhyme really slowly. It was kind of a bit like that. But also like, for the last two episodes, they've just been like traveling and just not been really doing anything.
Do you know what? I feel like what I've seen so far, it's all been well done. I think what I've just realised is that I just don't really like zombie apocalypse dramas, which is essentially what that is. And the reason why episode 3 was so good was because it wasn't really a zombie apocalypse drama.
Do you know what? I think that maybe zombie apocalypse stuff works better as games than it does as films or television, but you know, just a theory.
I feel like you might be right. Yeah. Bit of interactive pow, 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 kill the zombies. Mm.
Because you do the pow, 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 like, every so often, it's slightly different as a game and you experience it differently as a player. But when you're watching like someone getting chased by a zombie like the 10th time in a series, you're like, okay, yawn. Yeah. Like, they've been chased like just them two like about 3 times and it's been 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And you already feel like if it happens again, it's like, okay, what's new?
Yeah, whatever.
But Pedro Pascal, personal highlight.
Sexy.
There's a really great TikTok of this woman like trying to set her TikTok algorithm. So she's kind of like holding her phone nonchalantly in front of her face saying like, Pedro Pascal edits, Pedro Pascal without shirt, Pedro Pascal with children, Pedro Pascal cooking. Yeah, that's me.
Highlights
now.
For me are, what's his name? Bill? Nick Offerman?
Nick Offerman. Oh, Nick
and
Offerman.
Murray Bartlett, from season 1 of...
I think basically this is all about Murray Bartlett. Is it Bartlett? It is Bartlett.
I think
Murray Bartlett is having his year.
Yeah.
And I, frankly...
Frankly?
I'm here for it. I think that he, well, he's saying he's having his year. I never watched the first series of White Lotus until this year, but yeah, he's fucking good in that. He's fucking good in, him and Nick Offerman in The Last of Us Episode 3, but I haven't got past that. Episode 3.
No, nor me.
Can't be asked.
The other one that I resisted for ages, which I do actually love and will come back to, is Succession. That's one that for years people were like, you'll like it, and I was like, leave me the fuck alone. I'm not gonna watch it. And then I did, and it's fucking great, and now they're bringing back another season.
So
and I'm
excited.
Is it, what series is it gonna be now? Four.
And it's written. Did you know who it's written by?
The Peep Show Guys.
Peep Show Guys, which is amazing.
Explains everything.
It's so
quick.
It does
make it easier to digest, actually, when you know that it was what's his name? That
Jesse
Armstrong?
Jesse Armstrong.
It makes it easier to actually watch when you know that it's kind of meant to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Because I think there are some people that watch that and they think, oh, these people are quite cool. And it's like, it's actually, like, no, the point is that they're the most insufferable human beings on the planet.
It's like fucking Christian Bale on American Psycho and guys like, or fucking Wolf of Wall Street. And it was like, the fact that you idolize them means you've missed the entire point of the fucking film.
Oh my God. If someone ever tells me that Wolf of Wall Street is their favourite film...
Red flag.
Red flag.
No, just end of the conversation. Like, I don't need a fight. It's not a flag. It's just like, I will not talk to someone whose favourite film is a 3-hour long film that broke the record for the most F-words in a film ever for no reason.
If guys watch Wolf of Wall Street and they're like, this is what success looks... Wolf of Wall Street is what 14-year-old boy's version of success looks like.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, that was because they cast Margot Robbie in as the love interest. And
fine.
Frankly,
that is
if
success.
You could get Margot Robbie, you know, you're doing all right. But then he does end up in a pretty bad way. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just kind of like, yeah, did you not watch until the end of the film? Did you just kind of like pause at the bit where they're fucking the like sex workers? I'm like, yeah.
Genuinely, I don't think I've ever made it the whole way through Wolf of Wall Street, but I think I fall asleep.
I watched it with my parents once. That was,
my mum and dad went to the cinema to see it, and they came out and were like, well, there's too much swearing. I was like, yeah, well.
My dad went to go and see Centurions with his friend.
What? On a stag do?
Oh, no, they just went with his mate after work. He saw one and two. I think he saw two twice.
Oh, The Legend of Fritton's Gold.
Yes, The Legend of Fritton's Gold.
Yeah. It's what being a girl dad will do to you over
time.
Yeah,
literally.
It'll weigh you down.
I'm a huge Centurions fan. He also, I don't even have any female children.
So I talk about, with my... I don't know if I should mention this. Actually, it's funny. With my partner, I talk about my dad's bays. Like, he'll like watch a film and be like, oh, she's so lovely. Gemma Arterton is one of his big faves.
Good choice.
The Brits. Anyone watch them?
Yes, I did. And my favourite bit that was so many people's not favourite bit, just because I'm a cool girl as well.
Yeah.
Was the bit where Wet Leg won and they came up and she did the same speech that
I have
Turner
this
did.
In my notes. I yeah. hate it. I hated
I loved
it.
I
hated
thought it was
it.
Hilarious.
Gone for and against debate
but,
team,
no,
guys.
No, but no one got it when they were saying it because everyone was so pissed there. And I think if the audience had all laughed, it would have been fine. But I felt in the end, I just ended up feeling sorry for her because she didn't stop.
That can you explain to the listener?
Because I remember seeing Alex Turner give that speech.
I thought
when
it was
they won
so cringe when
time.
It happened.
No, the first time it was, but I think they were doing it to take the piss out of the Arctic Monkeys.
Were they
and
taking
Alex
the
Turner.
Piss?
Yeah, I think so.
So for the listener, Wet Leg won. Which award was it? Best
they
UK,
couple,
best band,
best
group,
best leg,
best leg,
best leg.
Which one was it? The wet one.
I actually quite like Wet Leg.
Yeah, same.
I've never heard any of their songs ever.
But they went up on stage and they quoted Alex Turner from the Arctic Monkeys at the Brit Awards several years earlier.
His acceptance speech for AM winning
and
best album.
His acceptance speech was, that rock and roll, it goes away sometimes and disappears into the sludge. Or disappears into
the
swamp.
Into the swamp.
And then it comes out or fucking whatever. And but her saying that made me laugh so much because I just thought she's taking the piss out of him being a knob.
Yeah.
I feel like she was taking the piss.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think that maybe I got that. I thought she was just saying
that's
like,
what
oh,
I'm
yeah.
saying.
Okay,
I think
fine.
That too many people didn't get it. And that's the sad thing because actually then she looks like a twat.
Yeah.
But actually,
she
was
being
quite
funny.
It was
funny. She was being funny.
And then what was even funnier is when the hairy little blokes talk when they came up the second time. And one of them went, what does he say? He said something like, relationship has an end or something, but friendship's a ship that you always have. I can't remember the quote, but it was well funny. He was like a cuddly little hairy bloke. And
they sound nice.
I think they all seem pretty cool, you know. They're all right.
It was good. Who won the... Because last time we talked about the Brits, Easter was on, and we were talking about that, how they got rid of best female and best male artist, and they abolished that, and they instead had like a gender-neutral category.
Right.
But every single person nominated was a man.
Oh, in this year's Brits?
Yeah.
I think the Harry Styles won it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he won mostly. He won big at the Grammys, and I think he might have won at the Brits too.
Wait, who were the nominees for the best artist?
Harry Styles, George Ezra,
Central C.
Stormzy. I think that's it.
Yeah,
I think
so.
We got it between us, yeah.
I think that's a bit of a... Maybe what they meant when they said they were going to get rid of...
They just meant
they were going to get rid of the women's category. and say artist.
Because
artist obviously means
men.
Man.
As opposed to female artist.
Exactly.
Yes, got you. Yeah. Okay, fine, I understand. No, sorry, it was just my silly female brain.
Because a female artist, as we all know, is an artiste, DN.
Sorry. Yeah, I guess. It was just my stupid female brain.
Sorry, I was going to, don't let me mansplain. To you.
My silly brain's overheating.
Well, it will do. You need to have an ice cream. Calm down.
Harry,
do I wine?
Yeah, I do. What do we think about Harry Styles' outfits? For me, I live in fear of them.
I think he can do whatever he wants. I think he looks great. He looks happy.
He looks happy. Live. He looks happy, but I hate every single thing he ever wears.
I mean, I wouldn't wear it.
No, not, yeah.
But
maybe I'm just really judgy. I'm a bitch. I'm like, this is like a personal awakening.
I am, not even that close to it, a bit of One Direction stan, though, so I feel like he can do no wrong in my eyes.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I don't care.
You don't care? So what did you think of Sam Smith's outfit?
Sam Smith, I like that. Too much hate. Leave that poor person alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're having a fun time. I mean, that was a fucking stupid outfit, but like...
Vibes?
You're on the red carpet at the Brits. Wear the fuck what you want to wear.
If I get nominated for the Fortnum & Mason Awards, I'm wearing that exact outfit.
You've said that now.
We'll pump you up backstage.
Oh, I thought you meant as in like gas me up. Like, girl, you're going to be great.
I don't know if this is a bit niche, but it really reminded me of this sketch from an episode of The League of Gentlemen. I think it's The League of Gentlemen or Inside Number 9, where they're all in these like inflatable black suits and it's like, Daddy controls your breathing now. And it's some of the darkest shit I've ever seen. So every time I saw Sam Smith in that outfit, and obviously I couldn't escape that because it was all over the internet, every single time I was thinking of Steve Pemberton in that thing. Just going, Daddy controls your breathing now. It's so, so dark. And then they like all end up dying.
Yeah.
But that's what Sam Smith really made me think of. That, so.
Have you been seeing the stuff about Roald Dahl books in the news? That they're changing the words in lots of Roald Dahl books.
You seen this, Will?
Yeah.
That like Augustus Gloop isn't going to be described as fat anymore. He's going to be described as
enormous.
The problem with
Augustus Gloop was never that he was fat.
It's just that he was a cunt.
It's that he was greedy.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the thing that they're trying.
That's what they're commenting.
Roald Dahl was an awful man.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
J.K. Rowling is a fucking cleft when it comes to trans rights.
This is an anti-JK podcast.
But, and there is a but, the stories that they wrote are objectively great.
They're important.
Like, well,
they're
Harry Potter's got some holes in it, whatever, but Harry Potter has transcended... it's not about J.K. Rowling. She made something that's been taken on and run with by so many other people. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than that. Roald Dahl was a fucking... I'm pretty sure he was like a Nazi.
He was a raging
anti-Semite. Yeah. I mean, the Twits is basically an anti-Semitic tomb.
Yeah.
But, I never saw that. Yeah, true.
Yeah. But, you know...
Twits is my favourite,
I love the Twits.
But Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is such a good story and, like, something that I don't... You know, maybe I need to look at it through a fresh pair of eyes, but I don't necessarily see that as problematic. I don't see frankly, a story about a fox stealing from some cunts, I don't think there's a problem with that. You know, loads of those stories.
Feels quite a socialist, fantastic.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not the storyline that's being changed. It's very small words. And I think that the point that you made earlier where it's kind of like changing, so some of like the language surrounding the Oompa Loompas, you're like, okay, fair enough. But then, like, some of the language has been changed. I'm like, okay, I think that's, this is what I was saying in conversations. I think that that's, whenever you read an old book with a parent, that's then their responsibility to say, like, oh my God, I can't believe that people used to think like that.
I feel like it's an educational tool, isn't it?
My dad used to read me fucking The Secret Seven and Famous Five.
Yeah.
Mm. No one talks like that anymore.
Yeah.
It's not even that those books are massively problematic as far as what I can remember. It's just that no one talks like that anymore. The way that language and the way that people talk now and the things that people say is completely different to what it was when Roald Dahl was writing those books. Mm. But as you just said, if you're a parent, it's down to you to make sure your kid's not a dickhead.
Mm.
Them reading a book is not going to make them you know, turn around and go, I hate fat people and stuff like that. It's just a fucking, it's just a book, and they're good books. And I remember loving reading those books as a kid. And, you know, I don't think there's anything in them that made me turn out like a complete knob. Well, maybe it was other, might have been other things, but you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, it's down
It feels like unnecessary censorship.
I feel like it's a classic case
of separate the artist from the art.
We were talking about this earlier. I agree. But like, even small things, like there is a bit where I think it's in the Matilda book. I was looking at examples. There was a piece written in the Times that I think Ed Cumming, who I've met a couple of times, contributed to it. And that's how I saw it. That's how I saw the news. And one of the lines is like, oh, I can't wait till I turn into an adult. I'd properly like bash her head in or something. And it's been changed to, I can't wait till I'm an adult. I'll give her a right proper talking to.
Silly.
It just kind of like takes the silliness out of it.
Yeah.
I really thought this was going to be a much more lighthearted podcast. I didn't think we were going to be diving into these sorts of matters, but you know, good to get it.
You've been brought under false pretenses.
Sorry, babes. Let's change the subject. So this might just be a me thing. You might turn around and say, okay, Had, it's just you that feels like this. But Ice Spice and Pink Pantherist have released a song together.
Yeah.
So they are both like the pinnacle of TikTok music, Gen Z. They both had songs that are incredibly popular on TikTok, and then they've now released a song together and it's huge and it's probably going to top the charts or whatever. But I feel like this is probably one of the first times where I have felt too old for popular music.
I don't like it very much. To be fair, I love Pink Pantheress's music normally. I don't know lots about Ice Spice, to be fair, but she is burn up right now.
I sometimes listen to Ice Spice in the gym.
Do you?
Yeah.
What is on your gym playlist?
I don't have a gym playlist. I just have a light songs playlist that I put on when I just want to let it roll. And there is at least one.
It's Munch on it.
It's Munch. I won't repeat the lyrics, but it's the combination of the music and the beats and how she looks.
Does it get you excited for lunch?
It certainly does. And she looks a little bit like Annie. So Annie with a fanny, I suppose, if we're American.
Annie with a fanny.
Obviously it's a minge here, but over there it's a bum bum. She's got a big bum.
Annie with a fanny.
Annie with a fanny, but and not a child.
It's really important to clarify.
Could be an orphan. Don't know what her parental situation is.
I don't know.
But adult, for sure.
Yeah.
Very much adult.
But I honestly felt like, wow, like these two people, their like come up has just been so, I just haven't caught it at all. It's not been suggested to me in the algorithm. I think it's because the algorithm knows that I'm not interested.
What? Boy's a liar. The boy's a liar.
Yeah. I actually have noticed that when it comes to the TikTok algorithm, I don't get a lot of, like, new music stuff like
what
that.
What do you
obviously
get?
Obviously, it knows. Mostly just... I can't think of anything funny. it's just like food shit. And then I get loads of, like, niche talk stuff as well, like little cut bits of, like, Brass Eye and, like, Alan Partridge and shit, and, like, set with football stuff, which I don't even like. So TikTok, sort it out. I was just speaking to my phone. But I find that the way that I... hear most of the of these pieces of music that I wouldn't normally hear because I don't look for or like listen to now 302 through people that are trying to make their videos go viral by using those bits of music.
Yeah.
Because I think that's something that people have really snaggled onto now. And when you use a certain tune on a reel or on a TikTok.
Apple bottom making one of eight.
Yeah, maybe that one. Yeah. I find that that's the way that I hear these pieces of music. And then I go, oh, I wish I hadn't heard that.
They get really, little real earworms.
Yeah. And then it's in really my head in for days. For days.
Is it? Yeah, that fucking, because girls is players too. That lives in my head.
Sorry, what?
Have you used that on one of your reels? Is...
No. I would rather die.
Yeah.
The last thing on the agenda to talk about is the Super Bowl.
Which Will has already said he didn't watch.
No, I didn't.
Have you not even seen a snippet of Rihanna performing?
The only thing that I can say that's even slightly related to the Super Bowl is I saw that a place that does barbecue food near me was doing a showing of the Super Bowl from 11 p.m. till 3 a.m. on a Sunday.
Bloody hell.
On a Sunday night. And I looked at that and I thought, yeah, could go to that, and then didn't, because I couldn't give less of a shit about the NFL. I'm actually much more of a Major League Baseball fan.
It's funny
I
you say
simply
that.
Adore baseball, and American football can suck my ass.
Heard it here first.
I mean, the fact that it's on a Sunday night and literally in the middle of the night in the UK does not help its case.
Sunday
really,
nights
it?
Are not the nights for fun.
Sunday
night is chill night.
It's chill night. Sunday night is maybe have a little takeaway. Chinese takeaway, maybe.
Lord of the Rings.
Pray.
Oh. We
and
eat.
Pray.
We
pray. Praise the Lord of the Rings.
We love. Big time. Big time. Yeah.
Eat, slay, love.
I eat, slay, love. Yeah. Every day, baby. yeah, but I think that Sunday nights are for Chinese takeaways. And actually, the Lord of the Rings, now you come to mention it.
Yeah.
The only Lord I'm praising is the Lord of the Rings.
Absolutely.
Same.
Who
same.
Is the Lord of the Rings?
It's Sauron, isn't it? Or is it?
Is it Frodo?
Well, like, Sauron is the Lord of the Rings.
Isn't it Aragorn?
He? Well, he's
because
the king.
He ends up.
But the Lord of the Rings, Sauron is the Lord of the Rings, right?
I don't know.
That's why he's trying to get it back.
I think he's just got some of them.
Right. Well,
who is the Lord of the Rings?
The Dark Lord Sauron.
Oh, it is the Dark Lord Sauron.
I dressed as Lord of the Rings for World Book Day in year 5. where...
Miscellaneous Lord of the Rings.
It's actually quite good. Listen to this. Okay. I wore a black cloak and my mum made me a black paper crown, which I shoved Haribo rings on each of the bits of the crown.
That's brilliant.
I know. I didn't win, though.
Most little twats would have just gone as Frodo. But you had to just go all out.
I've probably bitched about this on a podcast before. Maybe
you
not.
You know who wins things? Characters that aren't from books.
Characters who aren't from books. Have I ranted you about before?
Shrek.
Shrek. I have. Someone in year 5-1 who was dressed as Shrek.
What?
But we learned it was a book. But, I mean, no one's read the book of Shrek.
To be fair.
It's German.
I once went to World Book Day as... what's
David
his,
Beckham.
No, what's his name? What's the little... twat that's friends with Dora the Explorer called Diego. Just
Diego.
wanted to wear some clothes that looked a little bit like what that little fucker used to wear. And I was like, do you know what?
That's what it's
going
to be.
I'm going as Go Diego Go, or whatever his name was. They were like, is that a book? I'm sure there's a comic.
Must be.
Somewhere.
Must
loophole.
Be some kind of,
loophole
be an
year
annual.
6 teacher. Take that. What are you going to do? Send me home? Hell no. My mum would have to come and get me. I don't live near this school.
We live in a village.
We live in a village. This school's near a town.
It was really giving James Acaster that delivery.
Back to Rihanna and Super Bowl.
Let's skip over the Super Bowl.
You don't care for it.
Do you not care about Rihanna?
No, actually. Really?
Oh, wow.
Whoa. I mean, that's a take in itself.
Rihanna's fine.
Wow.
Rihanna's fine. What I love about Rihanna is that she has decided that she wants to live in the UK and she's an American, and I always think that actually having been...
She's Bayesian.
She is Bayesian, and I know that because I've been to Barbados and she is literally their queen.
The mayor. Yeah.
She is literally their fucking hero. Well, to be fair, Barbados is very like... They have American accents quite often.
I mean, she doesn't have the strongest Bayesian accent.
No. She used to.
I don't think I've ever heard Rihanna talk.
She doesn't have to. She just has to, like,
or maybe
bop around.
You just haven't listened. No, but I just think that when people actively choose to live in the UK, I think that that's because they understand the good things about it rather than the
she gets us.
The Brexit and the
whereabouts does she live in?
The EDL.
She bought a house for a time up in Hampstead, I think.
St John's Wort, I thought it was.
Oh, was it?
I think so.
There
I
was
might
a
be
photo
wrong.
Of a Sainsbury's bag for life. Well, there were loads of pictures of her with the Sainsbury's bag for life in the corner, which is iconic.
I love that.
She's one
shit.
Of us.
Is she living
that.
There with
Sainsbury's girly?
Is she living there with What's That Bricky?
I feel like it was pre RASAP.
Does he live
times.
In the UK?
I'm sure he visits.
I went
there.
Really high there.
Did he?
Does he live in the UK?
Are you a WhatsApp? Sorry, ASAP Rocky.
Sim. Nah, I liked ASAP Rocky when he first came on the scene. And now I haven't really listened to anything. You know when he did that one? Well, it must be...
I don't know about
gold.
That one.
Is it gold?
I know about a lot of bad bitches. That's my fucking problem.
Yeah, that was a banger.
Yeah,
that one was, I believe, with Drake and Kendrick Lamar. Yeah, it's Kendrick Lamar. Yes, I love rap and hip hop music.
Nice,
but not Rihanna, evidently.
It's not that I dislike Rihanna. It's just that I don't really get. I swear she hasn't put out an album in.
She doesn't need to.
In a very, very long time.
She's a boss businesswoman.
She's written songs. She's done songs.
What is your favorite Rihanna song?
I was disappointed she didn't play Disturbia. Oh,
yes, that's a good one, Disturbia. Bang.
Actually, the more I talk about it, the more I like Rihanna.
I really like, so whenever my mom calls me Nana, so whenever she hugs me, she goes, "Oh, Nana," which is cute.
What's my name, banger?
Really like Needed Me.
Yeah.
It's an incredible song.
Strong.
Needed Me is an amazing song. Kiss It Better is also an amazing song.
Mm-hmm.
Only Girl in the World.
Only Girl in the World.
Rude Boy.
Rude Boy's high.
I've noticed you haven't said Umbrella.
I don't like Umbrella. Got no time for Umbrella.
Wow. I like if it comes on.
As far as the discography
if it
goes,
comes on,
I'd skip it.
Oh, I've also noticed you haven't said... Is it... What's the one about the DJ? Oh, Mr. DJ, on the replay. Oh, Mr. DJ, when you turn the music up. That one.
On the replay.
What about Please Don't Stop the Music? No, ones that are really good are the Calvin Harris ones. Obviously, We Found Love, but...
Your dad's favourite.
Who's That Chick?
This Is What You Came For. Who's That Chick?
Who's That Chick?
The David Guetta one.
Yeah,
that's my favourite Rihanna song ever.
Your dad's favourite Rihanna song is 4 or 5 Seconds featuring Kanye and Paul McCartney.
Do you know, it's not. My dad's favourite Rihanna song is probably Rude Boy.
No, your dad's favourite song by Rihanna is 4 or 5 Seconds and he's got a little tab saved on his Mozilla Firefox where it's just that YouTube video in black and white.
You know, my dad went to see Rihanna for his 50th birthday. My mom gave
on
him
his
tickets
own?
With my little sister. He took
really?
My sister with him.
Wow.
He loves Rihanna.
I did not
really?
Know that about
him. Yeah, he's tapped into
someone. I just knew can he really liked Mozilla Firefox as an internet browser.
You thought...
I don't know where we've got this from, but... we're running with it.
Just what people are saying in the bumhead area.
It's a big roast. Right.
So question time.
It's question time.
It's time for our letters.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We usually have like a letter section. The first letter is actually very sweet from someone who said...
A letter? What do you
mean? We call it letters.
Oh, great. But it's not actually a letter.
It is a letter.
Oh, it is a letter.
They sent a physical letter.
Is it
they
an agony aunt situation?
Yeah, it's an agony aunt situation.
You're the agony aunties. Yeah.
And you're an agony uncle.
Oh, good.
Agony uncle. So Eve gets in touch. She sent a photo that I haven't opened, but I'll open it in a bit. She says, ladies, I wrote... This isn't a question, by the way. This is just some correspondence. I wrote into you last week, and I love how pumped you were for me in my single life. You'll be glad to know. So she was single on Valentine's Day and wanted to know what she was going to be up to. And we basically told her to have a wank and make herself some food.
Yes, that's what I would have said. Yeah.
We should talk. Well, we could talk about that sex toy that sounds intriguing. In
a
second.
I saw. You know, we were talking about my TikTok algorithm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, for some reason, it thinks that I want a clitoral stimulator. Yeah.
And what is a dick if not an enlarged clit? We all start off with clits.
That's true. Actually, I've always said that. There's a few things I always say, and. That's the third one.
The Holy Trinity. But yeah, we'll talk about your special product a bit because I feel like I follow meme pages and then the meme pages suddenly like have quite explicit adverts for bondage gear and clitoral stimulators.
Yeah, it
and like
happens.
Very intense looking vibrators dripping in water. Anyway, You'll be glad to know I made homemade pizza with some truffle mayo as a top tier dip, cracked open the vino, and listened to your podcast.
Yay!
Such a wholesome Valentine's Day, but I'm going to head to the cinema at some point too, for sure. Thank you for making me smile today. Hope your day is full of love.
Yay! Thank you.
Okay, Becky gets in touch. Hi, I love your podcast. I always cook while I listen, and I love hearing about the best thing you've eaten each week. Nice plot point, Sophie. Good feedback.
Thank you.
My mum is coming to visit me in London soon to celebrate her birthday, and I wondered if you could recommend somewhere veggie-friendly for dinner. I want to take her somewhere special, and I feel overwhelmed with choice. Anywhere central at least would be perfect. Right.
Oh, my God, like great. Okay.
We can all...
So I'm getting overexcited.
Yeah, go ahead. So Will's on his phone, so Steph, I'm going to hand over to you.
Boobala in Spitalfields. Yes. It's all vegetarian and vegan. Really lovely, generalised kind of Israeli, Middle Eastern food, lovely. Potato latkes, which are less latkes and more like the confit potatoes you get in all the trendy restaurants. They're lovely. The best hummus ever, which is a basic thing to say because you get hummus everywhere, but that is particularly good hummus. And loads of other lovely veg-centric sides. Another place in Spitalfields I love is Tofu Vegan, which is a great, entirely vegan Chinese menu. They've got one in Islington as well, but the Spitalfields one, I imagine, is more in your direction if you're east. That's great. Really good dumplings. Loads of delicious stuff on there. My other one would be Fat Pundit, which is in Central. I think there's one in Soho and one in Covent Garden. And they just have all these really delicious, I guess it's kind of, I'm trying to think where it is. It's kind of...
It's on Old Compton Street, isn't it?
I think it's on Old Compton Street. But I think it's maybe like Nepalese food or Tibetan-y food. Right. So you've got quite a nice mixture of kind of sticky Chinese-y things and also more curried things. There are momos on the menu, which
sticky
are lovely
Chinese-y
dumplings.
Things I like.
They do this really delicious crackling spinach dish there and loads of other really nice veggie bits. So they're probably my top three.
Nice. I would recommend Silo.
Yeah, I was going to say Silo.
Silo, zero waste restaurant, and it's all plant-based, but the flavour and texture is
so... Well, it's majority
so,
plant-based.
Yeah, majority.
They only get, like, super...
It's plant-focused, right? Means,
yeah.
Yeah.
They do have the... I think the best sausage I've ever eaten was at
Silo.
Yeah.
But, like, they are so focused on flavour and texture. The one time that I went, there was no meat on the menu. No, there was one dish that was meat, and it's, like, a really long... course tasting menu. I think maybe there were about 10 courses when I went, and I think there was only meat in the seventh course.
Yeah,
and only then I registered that I hadn't had any meat up to that point. It was so fucking good.
I love
but you
that.
Can also get like a veggie menu. They also do low intervention wines, served by my good pal Liam Colucci, who's insanely chatty and amazing, but well worth a chat to tell him Hannah sent you. But that's amazing. I would definitely recommend that as a veggie option. What about you, Will?
I'd probably just say go to Black Axe and have the vegan option.
Yes.
Because they do the, like, especially if you're going with someone that eats meat, like, you can have a bit of both. And they always do, like, a really good vegan version. I've been there a couple of times when we've gone with, like, Abby, Tegan's housemate, who is one of those vegetarians.
She is indeed. I've had dinner with her before.
Yeah. She does not like eating meat. And yeah, but I think it seems like they always do make a really good effort to have for such a meat focused menu, to have a really good, like, plant based alternative. And it's just two set menus, isn't it? So
it's a real skill doing both really well.
Mm. Yeah. I think
there's clever clubs.
It does feel like there's a good team there. There's a good team. And it's a clever restaurant. But I to be honest, I think I don't really tend to eat at like veggie focused restaurants. So I'm only really going off veggie dishes. But one thing that really I find quite surprising is that every time I've ever eaten at St. John Bread and Wine, the veggie dishes that they have on the menu have always been, for me, better than most of like the bigger meaty plates.
Okay.
So they normally got lovely potatoey cheesy things.
Yeah, yeah. And they had like, so it was like some braised barley with leeks and young cheese or whatever before. It was just, every time I've had the veggie option.
Delicious.
Of course, I've had that alongside bits of boiled pork, but, you know. It's always good.
Balance, so balance.
Worth a trip.
Life's all about balance.
Life's all about balance.
That's
what I always say. Yeah,
it's interesting. That's one of the things I always say as well. It's all
about Hope that helps, Becky. Fiona gets in touch.
I just like the way you said that.
Fiona gets in touch.
Fiona gets in touch.
I'm hearing from Fiona.
Hi, guys. Big fan of the podcast. Love heart emoji. Thank you. During lockdown, I learned how to cook, but my go-to is always pasta. Not necessarily a bad thing. Then, my boyfriend and I have a new weekly tradition of making and perfecting an arrabbiata whenever we get the chance to sit down and enjoy it with a bottle of red.
Rogue choice.
Arrabbiata.
I would say that's a rogue choice. I would say of all the pastas that you can make that, like basic pastas.
What would you say?
I'd say that's one.
Spicy tomato sauce?
Yeah, but I'd say that like tomato and basil, carbonara.
I think perfecting a good tomato sauce is...
It's not the easiest thing to do.
It's not.
But I think arrabbiata, I don't think I've ever knowingly cooked an arrabbiata.
I think I do it accidentally all the time because I always add chili flakes.
Right.
Hannah, continue.
Let's wait till we get to the end of the question before we start roasting her. Then it's fair game.
Sorry, Mum.
Sorry, Fiona. We've been trying different reds to develop our palate, but we're keen to find one that pairs perfectly with a spicy arrabbiata sauce and pasta dish. Something to go with all the spiciness of the chilies, the sweetness of the San Marzano tomatoes, and the sharpness of the parmesan. Will's put his hand up. Do you have any recommendations? Yes, Will, what is it?
That sounds like quite a peppery dish.
What is it? You usually say something, don't you?
Well, one thing that I always say is that when you're eating peppery food, a wine with lots of Syrah grapes. Is that right?
Syrah.
I was holding my tongue, and I realized you did on purpose.
No, I actually didn't.
Oh, right.
That second glass of wine's hit me a little hard. Lots of Syrah grapes pair very nicely with peppery dishes.
Peppery dishes, yeah. But there's a difficult thing when you're pairing wine with spicy food, because when you have a very spicy dish and you have a wine that's high in alcohol, what happens is the spice tends to make the alcohol feel like really burny. So you kind of get like a casual alcohol burn when you're drinking wine. That's like part of the whole, that contributes to the entire body of the wine. But when you have a spicy dish, it can make the alcohol feel like quite a lot.
So tannins kill you slightly.
Not the tannins. Tannins are different to alcohol.
But fucking idiot!
I can't believe we're friends.
I wouldn't go for really high tannin wine.
But that's also a good point. So you're not wrong.
I'm just jumping ahead.
Oh. But you're also not wrong. Like if you kind of have something that's like super spicy and it's too alcoholic, too tannic, then all you're going to taste is the burn of the alcohol and the tannins, and the fruit's going to get smothered. What you need to do is you need to have a wine that's kind of got a tiny bit of grip on the palate, so like really low tannins, very fruit forward, probably quite youthful. So you're probably looking at like a young, like French wine made from like Cab Franc or Syrah or Grenache or Sanso or Carignan, that kind of thing.
Would that be sort of a 2022 onwards vintage?
I mean, I feel like you probably go as far back as 2019, but it depends. Like a lot of like, especially natural wines, they're designed to be drunk within like, I don't know, like a year of it being made. A year of it being released, sorry, depending on what kind of aging process they have. So I would definitely recommend something that's lower in alcohol, so maybe something around 11%, I would say, is probably about as low as you can go for like a good red. And something that's young and fruit forward is what I would suggest.
Alternatively, jug of sangria.
Jug of sangria. The fruitiest red in all the land.
Exactly. I like jug of sangria with like a little bit of batatas bravas. You know?
Ooh, batatas bravas.
Always good. Also, batatas bravas, always aioli.
I would always choose to have it on there, but it doesn't necessarily need to be on there.
I think it needs it because
I would agree.
Mayonnaise and potatoes.
Yeah, best pals.
I once went on a date with a guy, and he ordered the patatas bravas, and he used a Spanish accent for the patatas bravas.
No,
nothing else on the menu, and it was a tapas restaurant.
Say patatas bravas in your best Spanish accent.
I just got to channel my inner Puss in Boots. Whenever you want to do a Spanish accent, you've got to
patatas bravas.
Oh, hello.
Where have you been hiding, Antonio?
I've watched Spy Kids several times.
She's See, you can think
but
of
not
funny.
The third and fourth one.
Last question, got nothing to do with food and drink, but it's a leftover one from Valentine's Day.
Go on.
It's a straggler. I broke up with my boyfriend a month ago, but we're still sleeping in the same bed. Am I crazy? That's literally the question.
I don't think you're crazy. The housing market is pretty brutal these days, so I understand if it's taking a bit of time to move out. But I would recommend for your own sake getting out of there stat if you don't want to still be with that man.
I read a thing by Vicky Spratt, who's the housing correspondent for The Independent or something like that. Independent or The Evening Standard. And she said the other day that it's now impossible as a woman earning the average wage that a woman earns in the UK to buy any house on the market in the
UK. I was reading this the other day. Yeah. Brutal.
It's absolutely fucking brutal. So yeah, breakups are an economic challenge as much as they are an emotional one.
I don't think you should sleep with in the same bed as someone that you've broken up with, because I think relationship-wise it makes it harder for you to
move on.
Yeah. I mean, I think pre... Tegan.
PT.
PT, yeah. I think I've had situations where I've shared beds with, you know, friends.
Yeah.
And, you know, you always end up having a sort of cuddle kind of thing. And I think that actually if there's already feelings there, that might make it quite difficult for the cuddle not to end up in...
Muscle memory. When you're asleep.
And I think that actually...
Spooning leads to forking.
And from a mental health perspective, I think that staying very, very close to someone that you've broken up with physically is probably a bad thing.
Maybe alternate nights on the sofa.
Yeah.
Mm. How comfy is your sofa?
I think that's right. Or if you are able to, just move back in with your parents. It's nothing to be poo-pooed at. I mean, my friend Ed's moved back in with his parents for a bit.
I've done it several times in adulthood.
He's not gone through a breakup. He's just a fucking loser. I only said that because I know he's going to listen to this.
Love you, Ed.
He's not a loser. He's actually moving to Dubai to be lots and lots and lots of money.
You know, I would agree with you. I think that it's like a situation because I feel my most vulnerable at night because like you've got your makeup off, you're like setting down for the night, you're kind of like de-stressing from the day. I think that the person that you're sleeping next to is inexorably tied up in that experience. So I think you just need to...
That's very true. Yeah.
I think that when you're sleeping, you're vulnerable. You're literally vulnerable. Yeah. And although they're not going to like strangle you in your sleep, it's also like if I go to bed and I've had an argument with my partner, I like don't sleep very easily because the person I've had an argument is literally next to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I can't really... There's nothing worse than having a fallout and then getting into bed with your significant other.
Yeah.
You've got to make up pre-bedtime.
Because someone's always got to start talking first to try and solve it. And you don't want it to be you. You don't want it to be you, but then if it goes on too long, you'll take a hit.
But I would say you're
not
crazy.
Get the fuck out of that situation.
You're not crazy, but get the fuck out of the situation. I think it's
stay with a friend, stay with your parents.
Yep, burden other people.
You can do the classic.
100%, but it's true. Like when I was at the end of my last relationship, so many friends were like, yeah, that sounds shit. Like, stay with me on my sofa if it ever hits the fan.
It's a lot like Marmite, not in the way that you either love it or hate it, but if you spread the burden, it's a bit nicer.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like if it's a little bit more spread out, if you stay at a friend's one night with your parents another night,
you don't want to be globbed with burden.
Exactly.
You want
to
have it spread thin.
Maybe you'll be able to find another friend. Or you can move in with a friend who has a significant other, cause a rift in their relationship, then move in with that person.
Perfect.
Problem solved.
Home wreck that shit. I hope that advice provided something for you. But I think we've spoken for quite a while. I think that might be all we have time for.
I suspect it might be. Will?
Will, this has been so lovely.
It's been really nice.
I'm really actually sad that you're not going to be back next week.
No, I can be.
Come back if you like.
But I've got to make a sort of cheese and butter pancake.
yes.
I look forward to that.
Next time. So.
Is there anything that you would like to plug to our dear listeners whilst you're here?
Are you not doing something?
Do you not have
the day after this podcast comes out?
Oh, yeah. When's this coming out?
Friday.
2 days.
The third?
No, as in this
it
Friday
comes
coming
out
up.
This Friday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So I am doing a pop-up with Cockfighter.
The best fried chicken.
On the 4th of March. And we're doing some very nice wraps and some. So we're doing. We're making a curry butter by basically just whizzing butter and curry powder to a sort of nice mixture, mm-hmm. and then we're doing fried chicken, which is going to be dropped into that curry butter and then put in wraps with various nice things, served with some MSG and masala spiced crispy French fries, topped with pulled coronation chicken and other nice things, and then you get a drink and whatever, and that's going to be at Cockfighter King's Cross. Tickets will be available on Resy.
Are you going to be there, Sophie?
I'm moving house. I can't go. Yeah. I'm there in spirit. It's only one. It's one day early, and I'm fucking gutted because it sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, let's just hope something happens and you can't move house that day. And nothing bad, you know. Just maybe fridge explodes.
I'm just really peckish and need to go to King's Cross.
Sorry, Coombs. Do you mind if we take a little break and nip to King's Cross all the way from Bumhead? Yeah, so...
famously near.
If you'd like to buy a ticket for that, all profits are going to help with the Turkey and Syria earthquake appeal. And, yeah, they're like 15 quid probably, or 20 quid. We haven't worked out the price yet, but when it's announced,
TBC.
Buy a ticket.
All for a good cause either way.
All for a good cause either way, and it should be a nice, nice fun day. So, yeah.
Very excited about that. So if you've got anything you want to plug?
No.
Me neither. Right. And on that note, I think it's time to go. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for listening. If you liked it, give us a rating, subscribe, give us a review, tell us you love us.
Give us 5 stars or nothing.
Tell me you love me.
If you've not got anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Please do not. But we love you and thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week.
Bye.
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 Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.